Ben!
That was a great
start. It was a chair!
No, it wasn't, you big liar.
It was!
Oh my god, he's doing it on demand now.
I can right. do the alphabet if you like.
Oh, this is the worst podcast in history. Right, hello and welcome to episode 10 of Shut Up and Ride. Episode 10, I just can't believe it. We've got a very exciting pod today. But before that, hi boys. For anyone, I'm going to clip this out and hopefully put this on YouTube. But Ben looks like the Terminator. And Simon, no offence, just look like Simon. Hi boys. Ben, tell us where you are first of all, because this is just hilarious.
Good morning from Lexington, Kentucky. So I've just arrived in America last night, spending 3 weeks here doing some clinics, doing some performances, and at the Liberty Festival at the Kentucky Horse Park. So yeah, I'm sat in my shades in the sunshine, having a great time.
He's truly international.
He really is. He's sharing a bit of BAM stateside.
A bit of BAM stateside, yeah, exactly.
And Sybe, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm in our spare room trying to stay as far away as possible from our lovely new puppies because they're making lots of noise, which is going to annoy Jenny.
Right, so we're doing our first four-way, guys. Our first four-way pod. And,
fun times.
I know, fun times, because I'm looking forward to the edit. Yay! So we have someone very special on the pod, but I'm not going to introduce him. I'm going to let him introduce himself. First of all, who are you, strange mystery guest?
Well, strange mystery guest is called Dave Darby, and I am currently sat in very, very sunny Chester.
Excellent. Not Kentucky, but we'll take Chester. And Dave Darby, why are you on our podcast?
Well, for my sins, I am the CEO of Charles Owen, who many of your listeners will be very familiar with, I hope. The reason I'm on the podcast is because I've actually been listening to this podcast since episode one. And by about half an hour into the first episode, I thought to myself, this is the kind of podcast that Charles Owen might just be interested in becoming a sponsor of. So if you remember, Jenny, I got in touch with you via Instagram. We had a chat between all four of us, and today is officially the announcement that we are the official sponsor of the Shut Up and Ride podcast.
Woo!
Yay!
Wow, that feels very official. That's very exciting.
It's grown up, isn't it?
I know, that's proper grown up. I'm not sure how fitting that is for us, but we will endeavour to meet your grown up expectations.
Oh, that might disappoint me a little bit, actually, because part of the reason I love the pod is because it's not so grown up.
Excellent. Well, that's what you fit right in. We're going to find out a little bit more about you, Dave, in a bit. But what I wanted to know, and I know the boys have got so many questions, because I know obviously Simon has been a big Charles Owen fan for a very long time. But what was it about the pod that made you, I'm going to sound like a youth, drop into my DMs?
Well, first and foremost, I am a huge podcast fan. So it is something that I do and I listen to, mainly kind of business podcasts or educational, motivational podcasts, as well as political ones. But because of the work that I do, I do keep an eye on equestrian podcasts, and of which there are not a huge amount, but some. There was something about yours and the combination of the three of you guys that just struck a chord with me. I think the mix of the three of you, the topics you were talking about, and the passion that you were showing for all things equestrian just kind of stood out to me at the very start. So that's really what drew me to kind of slipping into your DMs.
Oh, it was
cheeky.
So I was like a little child. He's like, well, you are very, very welcome into my DMs anytime. And what you. I also found, we did jump on a call, and I think straight away, what I want to say to our lovely viewers and listeners, and I feel like we've got some really loyal fans already and people who send us messages. And for me, we've had a couple of people contact us and stuff. And for us, it's about the right fit as well. Like, it's got to be someone who's going to let us be us. And I felt straight away on our call, you got us, and we had a laugh straight away, and we had the banter, and that we always said we'd rather not have a sponsor than have a sponsor that didn't get our vibe and our vibe. Listen to me, such a youth today. But yeah, I feel like you straight away got us, and we had quite a laugh, didn't we?
We did. I think at some point Ben said we should have recorded this call and just put it out as an episode of the pod. So I took that as a huge compliment that I'd been welcomed into the family.
You are definitely part of the family. It is so exciting because it means that there's so many things that it means, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But I think Simon's got a few questions for you. But I think first of all, from me, thank you so much for kind of DMing, and it's just really exciting to have someone who believes in us as much as we love our little pod, to be honest.
No, you're welcome. No, it's going to be a great adventure, I hope.
No, it's going to be really cool. It's great to have you with us today. Thanks for joining us today. I think it's really important, actually, to start off with, just for you to tell us a little bit about Charles Owen and what the brand actually is.
Yeah, so we, as a business, we've been in existence now for 113 years.
What?
113.
Charles Owen's quite an old guy.
Yeah, so I can only stake claim to the last three of those years.
113 years.
Yeah, 1911 the company was established, and it actually started making, would you believe, motorcycle helmets. But then it also very quickly made pith helmets for the First World War.
Oh wow!
So if at any point you guys want to come to our factory, we'll take you into our history room, which is full of the original helmets that we made back in 1911, 1914, 1918, and then all the iterations of the helmets that we've made ever since. So the history is long. It was started by actual Charles Owen, and the business today remains in the same family. So
does it? Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, so the owner of the business now is the fourth generation of the family. So he's Charles Owen's great-great-grandson.
Please tell me he's called Charlie.
He's not. He's he's actually called Owen. But his surname isn't Owen. So he's not Owen. he's such a great guy. He's mid-30s, very enthusiastic. But not involved in the business day to day. Hence the reason I'm in the position that I'm in. So,
but Dave, you're not particularly well. You're not horsey, are you?
I'm not horsey at all. I would never stake any claim to being an equestrian.
So how did this all come about then? How come you've ended up in this role?
So my background is mainly in retail. So I was in retail in various senior positions for 25 years. And then I moved into manufacturing in the technology sector. And then I was headhunted by Charles Owen 3 years ago because they wanted somebody from outside of the core equestrian manufacturing sector, because this can be quite a small sector and it's quite incestuous. So they wanted somebody with fresh ideas, new ideas, something a little bit off the wall sometimes. And the only way you can do that is to go outside of the sector. So I was headhunted for my retail and manufacturing experience because we are predominantly a manufacturer, but we sell to retailers. So I've got a foot in both camps. And because I've worked for a large PLC company, but I've also worked for a relatively small startup business as well, again, that middle ground of experience where I meet in the middle kind of suited the business really well. But yeah, I'm not equestrian in any way, but I was thinking about this morning while I was preparing to come on, and actually for what I do as a day-to-day job, it's not necessarily a disadvantage not being equestrian. Although in the last 3 years, I've tried to improve my equestrian knowledge, which you can't fail to do. I would still never stake any claim to being equestrian in any way. I've had some horsey experiences, but I wouldn't call them equestrian.
Because I was going to say, has that kind of like created stumbling blocks for you, the fact that you're not equestrian, or have you actually found it that it's been okay and that you've been guided by the right people and all that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think day-to-day, Simon, the majority of the time, it's not hindered me at all. I think we've got such a loyal retail customer base. The only time it has caused any questions has been if I've come up against a really traditional equestrian retailer who doesn't understand how a non-equestrian can run a business that services the equestrian world. So, but very few and far between. And the hurdles I've had to overcome have been minor, in all honesty.
The industry is definitely moving further away from that now, isn't it? It's becoming so much more professional, and so that's not really an issue now.
No, I mean, everybody has to move with the times. And despite the fact that we're 113 years old, we're a business that launches all of our new products on TikTok. So that's one of the things that attracted me to the business. The kind of, at one end, we're this old, but at this end, we're looking forward and adapting to the modern world. So I think some people within the equestrian sector have struggled a little bit with that in the past, but not to any great extent. And I have great relationships with all of my customers, but we've had some philosophical debates over the years.
Could I just want to jump in and say to anybody that thinks that the idea that someone who isn't horsey shouldn't be involved in an equestrian business, well, this might be news to you all, but my online training platform, BAM, the Ben Atkinson Method, is actually...
Oh, we got it in there. Good drop. I like it.
It's run by me, my main manager and agent, Larissa, and her husband, Suresh. And Suresh wouldn't know which way the saddle went on. He wouldn't know how to put a head collar on. Suresh doesn't know horses at all. And Suresh is probably the reason the business is doing well, because we can get blinded by our horse enthusiasm. And it's so good to have someone out there that's just like, no, to get people the best results and to get people the best product possible, it's actually one of the best things we've ever done is having people that aren't blinded by our industry and blinded by our, like you say, the incestuous internal politics of the industry. And it's so refreshing. So I think, to me, it makes brilliant sense that you're
and I think from my perspective, I remember my very first week in the job, and I sat in a room with the senior management team who all looked at me and said, what do you know about what we do? And I put my hand up and said, I'm here to learn. But what I did do very quickly was I was the person in the room asking the silliest, most stupid questions, genuinely, because I didn't know the answer. And the more naive the questions were, the more I got to understand about how everything worked. And then I would get to the point where I would then challenge people by just saying, well, why do we do that? Why have we always done it that way? How can we do things differently? How can we do things better? And over, I would say, the first 12 months, my understanding went from here to, you know, 0 to 100. And their appreciation of what I was trying to do also went from 0 to 100. So I would say within 12 months, me and the senior team were all kind of on the same page. And I'm very, very grateful for the fact that they gave me that time and they stuck with me.
I was just going to say, this is reminding me so much of my stepfather, who is completely non-horsey at all. And he years ago now, he like came in and like with my business, and he was like, so why are you doing this? And why are you doing that? And asking slightly stupid questions, or at least they seem to be. And then he'd come back to me and say, so why aren't you charging for this? And why aren't you charging for that? And why are you doing that? And I was like, because that's what we've always done, and we don't do that. But he was always come out with the perfect things, and he's absolutely right to put me into the proper business.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Sometimes I ask the question, why do we always do it like that? And then when you get the answer, I go, okay, that makes perfect sense. Let's leave it. But sometimes it's kind of...
Well, it's always worth asking the question.
100%. Yeah, you can't come into an industry that you that you've not been in before and pretend that you know everything. That is an absolute surefire way to fail.
No stupid questions, only stupid answers.
Exactly.
Ben and his quotes, Dave, you've got to get used to this.
Okay.
Yeah. This is he'll quote you up to the max.
Getting ready, when I'm older, I'm going to put out one of those toilet books.
I'd buy that. I have lots of toilet books. I bloody love a toilet book. Can I just say, what is refreshing about it? I've said this many times, unpopular opinion, that a lot of the horse industry just needs a bit of a bomb dropped on it because it is stuck in the way. You go in and God love the federations. They're trying to come up with new ideas to include people. A lot of people are new to horse riding and want to just love their horse and get into the sport, but they see it from people who ride 24/7, have grown up on a yard, who are born into it, is very different to the people who aren't. And I'm one of those people who wasn't born into it. And I felt very unwelcome in the industry at times. I've walked into press offices and people have gone, who's the loud girl in the corner? Mm-hmm. Because it's been the same people for so long in the press office to suddenly have someone completely different.
Yeah.
And I felt like I've been fighting a lot of that. I'm not horsey from the word go. So I think, and I just think the equestrian industry needs more of it and needs to embrace it. And I love the fact that that's a little bit what we're trying to do with this podcast, is be inclusive to absolutely everyone. We don't care if you've never sat on a horse. If you're enjoying the podcast, that's, and you enjoy horses, that's what it should be about. And fundamentally, it's about loving the horse. So, I think more people like you should be in our industry, Dave.
Well, thank you. I'll try and round more of them up for you.
And then we did kind of want to talk about a bit of an elephant in the room, which is where we're going to hand over to Ben, because he is the most eloquent of all of us. Ben seems to have these magical powers of being able to talk about awkward things, even though he is staring at us through sunglasses, which makes him slightly intimidating.
I was in trouble a lot at school. I got good at talking myself out of corners. I don't want to drag, you know, we're not trying to work a dry well here, but one of the things that was, I think, really excited me about partnering with Charles Owen was one of the reasons this partnership came around was because of the Charlotte incident with the video that came out. And I just want to say quickly there as well, I'm not saying this is a good thing, but so many more videos have come out in the preceding weeks and months since that. So to anyone that still thinks that Charlotte alone is some, you know, pin up for hate, I think that's ridiculous. I think this is a systemic problem. And if we focus on the individuals, then we will never find, you know, we're never going to get progress. But we rather, you know, we did it as a joke, but in the podcast we did, episode 4, where we talked about the Charlotte problem, I, as a joke, called out the sponsors that has chosen to break that partnership with her for that incident, and sort of said, if you want to be on the right side of history and jump on with these people that want to see change, why don't you give us a try? And I did it as a joke, and I never thought in a million years anybody would reach out or be bold enough. And I think it's really raised Charles Owen up in my esteem, as anybody that knows, if they've spoken to me about my favourite shows, my favourite show in the country is the Great Yorkshire Show, because of, they don't care. They would rather go bust than let animal welfare slip by the wayside. They'll happily have less entries and lose clients by saying, I'm sorry, you're too big for that horse. No, adults shouldn't ride ponies, or you're working that horse in a way that's inappropriate. And so they've become a bit of a champion of mine. And then so to see Charles Owen, the sliced bread brand of horsemanship, isn't it? Like you say, it's been around for so long. I don't think anybody doesn't know Charles Owen. And to see such a bold move from you guys to take a chance and partner up with, you know, a bit of a fringe idea like us, and we're trying to push this new world order. And I just think that's such a positive thing for the industry. This is the sort of change we wanted to see in the world. And to get you people listening, it started. Like, you can start to get excited because a big company like this has decided to get involved with the change. Can you not see? This is change. Sending abusive messages to Charlotte or the other riders on Facebook or Instagram, that's it's bollocks. That doesn't do anything. But this is real change. So, yeah, Dave, what can I just, Jeanette, what's your opinion on all of this and all of that? And how did that work out with at Charles Owen and with yourself?
Well, I think it was a difficult situation for everybody involved. And not something, you know, I woke up that morning, the day of Charlotte's statement, not knowing anything about what was about to unfold. The first thing I want to say, by the way, I won't go into huge amounts of detail because there's confidentiality involved. And there's also, you know, there is an ongoing FBI investigation, which is still to be concluded. But from my point of view, it was a situation we didn't ever dream we would have to deal with. You know, over the years, when you see footballers who've been accused of crimes or you see athletes being caught for taking drugs and their brands, their sponsors drop them like a stone. And I've been in that situation where I've gone, you know, that's a bit harsh, you know, and it's really quick. Never once did I ever think that I would be in that hot seat where I had to make that decision. But like all things, there's more than one side to every story. Charlotte released her statement, I think it was on a Wednesday afternoon, 4 p.m. We then entered into discussions with her management immediately after that statement. And during the course of the next 24 hours, we must have had about, you know, a week's worth of conversation, which culminated in us then putting out our statement, which was pretty much 24 hours after Charlotte's, saying that we were disassociating ourselves from her as a brand. Now, again, I won't go into the detail of those conversations, but when you take into account the contractual side of our arrangement and the moral and ethical side of the issue, and this was then after the video had been released on the Thursday morning, we didn't have any choice, and it wasn't challenged, and it was accepted that that's what we were going to do, and we communicated with all parties all the way through that decision making process. So we put our statement out on social media, and I've got to say, 95% of all of the support has been overwhelmingly positive. You know, to your point, Ben, you know, the majority of people are concerned about the horse welfare. They do want to see change, and we got that support from people. But there were some people who didn't agree, and I absolutely respect people's right to disagree. Even more so in this case, because they wouldn't have been privy to the conversations that we'd been privy to get us to that decision. I'm just pleased now we've come out the other side of it, that the conversation has started. And you're, as I said at the start, I was a fan of the pod from episode one, but I listened to two and three, and then the Charlotte situation happened. And then I thought, oh, hang on, let me see how the guys on the pod deal with the Charlotte situation. And the way you dealt with it was absolutely perfect for me. Jen, obviously you were very personally involved with it, but I think Simon and Ben represented their views, you know, very articulately and very eloquently. And I don't think anybody could be in any misunderstanding on what their stance on the situation was. And then when we jumped on the call, our first call, not long after that, and we kicked it around for quite a while. Since then, I've spoken to journalists, I've spoken to some of the associations, I've spoken to other riders, I've spoken to people at grassroots and also professional riders. There is definitely a will to do something. The difficulty is, what do we do? And how do we do it? As you said before, Ben, there've been more videos come out of more people, similar to Charlotte's. it's whether we can mobilize the equestrian general public and the powers that be to come together in one strong, powerful body to actually affect change.
I just want to reiterate to our audience again when we say this. When we say we want to gather the equestrian world together to create this body for change, we don't want a mob. We don't want a riot. We're not looking to go after anyone. You back anybody into a corner and they'll come out swinging. And that is the big thing. Like, we need to lead with love and compassion and understanding. Like you were saying, the 5% of people that were angry that you dropped Charlotte for the sponsorship, within reason, and no one take this out of context because that video was out of order, but you can't, like, there must always be a place for human compassion. Yes, yeah. We're fighting for more compassion for animals, but like as we spoke about, in the podcast with Jay and stuff, there has to be, you can't have change. Yes, we want people to have more compassion for horses and fight for horses. But fighting for horses doesn't mean fighting against people. And I think people are getting that wrong.
I think that's where transparency is such an important element of this. Like, there needs to be transparency across the board with riders, with organisations, with everything, because otherwise that does happen. And I think that's what's missing big time, personally.
How would you feel, Simon, if the professional body suddenly said something like, we've got to watch the professional riders training at home and things like that, and right, at a warm-up now, you're going to have extra stewards watching your behavior and we're going to come and do yard checks or things like that. Like, how is you a professional rider? Would you take it?
Yeah. Personally, I think that's an absolutely brilliant idea. I mean, it would be very difficult to police, and I think it'd be very difficult to organize because, you know, I think manpower is quite limited, but I think it would be absolutely fantastic to do that. And it's no problem for me. And I think that it would, I think it would cause a bit of friction to start with, but then it would just become the norm. And that's, I think that'd be a brilliant thing to be doing. Absolutely.
How amazing would it be if we suddenly saw professional riders signing up to a bit of BAM?
A few professional riders from different worlds have signed up. I won't embarrass anybody by saying their names, but yeah, there are some big names on there already, which is nice.
I just think, like, the other day I was commentating on some show jumping and an incident happened where a horse said, I can't possibly jump that because you're an idiot and you've turned me far too tight into a fence and my legs don't get out of the way quick enough. So the horse slammed on the brakes and got a few slaps on the backside. And then said rider took that horse to the warm-up and galloped it round for 20 minutes. And it was an FEI competition. Now, to me, that... where is the FEI steward just going, no, sorry, 6-month ban, get out. Like, obviously then, or you then have to go on a course to see to test your training levels or something. I don't know what it is, but there are FEI stewards at things and all these events. And I think riders are terrifying, having had to interview a lot of them. I've seen riders go up and go, well, no, I don't want to ride at that time. Move me above everyone else. I want to ride at that time. And the poor person at the in gate going, oh, okay, you're terrifying. Okay, I'll move because you're a rider and you're famous and you're scary. And I think what I'm trying to say rather ineloquently is I think it's about taking a little bit of the power back to what people want, which is making sure the animal welfare is paramount and being able to say, no, that's not okay. You've got to stop that now. There's an instant fine and we're going to come to your yard and check out your training.
I think you're right with that because, like, you know, FEI stewards are there to do a job and they're there to make sure that everything is done correctly and properly. And I think horse welfare has been not that high on the list of priorities with that. I mean, I've been there before when I've seen horses being ridden in a way that I think is inappropriate personally. And I've been there with the FEI steward and I've said, is that actually okay? And they said, well, not really, but I just need to carry on watching and then I might go and have a word with them about it. And that's not how it should be. But if it's even remotely considered to be slightly not right, they should be going and having a word. And again, going back to the transparency thing, there should be transparency about what's acceptable, what's not acceptable and all that kind of thing. Because I think that's... the FEI stewards are too scared to say stuff sometimes because I think there isn't that transparency and they don't know what's expected and what isn't, if that makes sense.
We need more people like the Dave answer. I genuinely, part of me wonders if having, like you say, people on the gate or people involved who aren't in the horse world, they don't care that it's John Whittaker or whoever. They don't even know who it is. They're like, nah, sorry, mate. I've been told that's wrong. Off you pop. Like, do you know, because I think that is, we all find ourselves doing it, don't we? Like, I'm sure we've all done it in the past. You're having a lesson with a big name driver and they tell you to do something and you think, oh, I won't normally do that. But it,
people
it
that aren't normally involved, it's a really good thing. So I am slightly different, but at the Royal International, I judged the Ridden Hunter class.
Did you have to wear tweed?
I had to wear tweed. And I was judging the middleweights. There were 31 horses. I rode 31 horses in an hour and a half, which I thought was quite impressive.
I think that's the section I would be in. I think I'd be a middleweight hunter.
lightweight, come on.
Oh, thanks.
For drinking, anyway. Anyway, so the reason that they... So I'm not involved in that world at all. So the reason they asked me was that I wouldn't know anybody there. As it turns out, I knew, like, two people that were... But they were showing the horses, but, like, that was kind of immaterial. But I didn't know anybody. I don't know anything about showing as such. And they just said, we just want someone completely removed from our kind of little world so that you're not going to be affected by anybody else. You're not going to be intimidated by anybody else because you don't know who they are. And it really works, you know. And there were a couple of people that weren't at the top that maybe felt that they should have been because I don't know them. And I just went on the ride that I was given and, you know, what felt best and what, you know, what didn't. And what I'm saying is, like, that's quite a similar kind of thing.
You know, were very impartial.
Yeah, somebody removed from me, it's good.
A good fun stories of Ben's weird childhood. I once got in a showing class, right? So I'm at a showing class. I'm about 4 years old. I'm on my Shetland. My Shetland looks like one of the characters from The Muppets. Okay, it is not a posh Shetland. It is a mongrel. And my dad was doing work in hunters at this show, and I desperately wanted to show my pony. So Dad had a word with the judge who was doing first ridden and was like, look, I know this pony doesn't belong in first ridden. I know he can't ride well. And, like, if he won't fall off and he can control it, please, can he come in and just go around at the back? And he was like, yeah, absolutely. He was like, it's first ridden. This is the point.
And oh, my God. He won, didn't he? I bet you won.
And all the other ponies in the class were such little assholes, like spooking and bucking and rearing. I came second. And I even did walk, trot, canter, and gallop, because Dad did work in hunters, so I did the gallop down the long side, and when this poor judge was lynched in the collecting ring outside, he said, well, how on earth could I place a pony that reared in the ring in a first ridden class above two that didn't? Like, what is... And yeah, that is a fun little bit like that.
So there you go, Ben, thinking outside the box, as usual.
While we're doing elephants in the room, shall we do this one, Dave? Dave, what's problematic about this situation, about our new relationship?
Yeah, so obviously as a brand, we promote the message of safety, first and foremost. That's what we're about. And it's not escaped my notice that our loyal followers on our social media and our customers will be very quick to point out to me that you are the leading equestrian safety brand in the world, and you are now choosing to sponsor a podcast where one of the participants never wears a hat when he's around horses.
Yeah, and this is the thing, Dave, isn't it, though? Because they've not realised that actually Charles Owen's technology has got so advanced that I wear a Charles Owen hat constantly, and it's just actually it's so clear it's invisible.
Well, Ben, you do realise, don't you? Whenever we say anything like that in a jokey way on our social media, people say, I have to have one of those. So I am now going to get inundated for the invisible Charles Owen hat.
So, firstly, I think one thing is I wear a hat at home quite a lot, but most of the time when I'm wearing a hat at home, it's because I'm doing things that wouldn't be very interesting, I don't think, for people to watch. I'm riding my youngsters. I'm schooling what I call my private horses. I have horses that the public don't know I own. They're just like...
Your private horses?
Yeah.
That sounds like something you and George do.
Like, oh, my goodness. What I mean by that is, like,
Jenny
I have...
Rudolph.
Like, I've got little greys that I, like, jump at home. I'm hoping to get him out jumping again, competing. So, obviously, when I'm jumping him at home, I wear a hat. If I go competing, I'm on again, then I'm going to wear a hat. And I think part of what I'm going to do with our sponsorship is I'm going to get more of those videos out. Get people seeing me when I'm using my hat and stuff. And also, I think I'll be wearing a hat a lot more in the future because I'm about to have my son in February.
Oh, so, having a boy!
Yay! And after riding without a hat in front of my sister's children, it's become such a blummin' battle to get them to wear one. So I think I'll be wearing one an awful lot more in the future. But yeah, we're not unaware that this is an issue. But I think, Dave, you had a quite brilliant idea of what we can do to not avoid the elephant in the room, but make the elephant the centrepiece of our launch of this sponsorship.
Embrace the elephant.
Embrace the elephant, guys.
So I won't...
Again, that's what George does on a weekend.
So I won't take full credit for this. It was actually my head of product development who came into my office and said, I feel this might be a way around it. So in conjunction with the podcast... we are about to launch the first competition of our sponsorship. So Ben has agreed to wear a hat during some of his performances. Not all, but some of his performances. And what we would like to do is we would like to offer out to the followers of our social media accounts and the listeners of the pod the opportunity to design that hat for Ben Atkinson to wear. So we will be putting out the details on our respective social media platforms, so please keep an eye out for that. But Ben has assured me that whatever the hat is designed, that is the winning hat, and providing that we, Charles Owen, can make that hat, because I'm pretty sure it's going to be pretty outlandish, then Ben will wear it at one or more shows.
Yeah. And guys, be bold. I don't have to make it. That's Charles Owen. Come on, let's ramp it up. Let's be bold.
Can Simon and I enter?
I know, I was going to say that.
Well, I feel the four of us have to be the judges. Or maybe just the three of us and not Ben.
Yeah, I don't think Ben's allowed to judge.
No, but we can put him in the most outlandish design we like.
I think that's a better way to do it. I don't think I should be allowed to judge. I think you three should do it. I think you three should pick my hat.
I mean, obviously, Ben, it's very performance-based and you have a look when you perform, so...
Oh, don't tell him that, Dave!
No,
don't tell him
not
that!
Not this time! No!
Okay.
Right. Make the mental hat. Make the hat to end all hats. We're going to start... This is going to kickstart Charles Owen's hats, bespoke hats for fancy dress competition. that did a business. And whatever you guys come up with, I will design a costume to match. A costume and performance to match. It's going to be
excellent.
Brilliant. I've got a vision of like rainbows and hearts and stuff.
Yeah, I'm thinking Rocky Horror Picture Show, to be honest.
Oh, yes!
Any excuse to wear tights.
So just to guide the listeners and our followers a little bit, what we would like to do is it has to be an iteration of one of our existing hats. But you can embellish it as much as you like. You can put brims on the hats. You can put horns on the hats. You can put colours on the hat. As long as it's an iteration of one of our existing peaked hats or jockey skulls, then we should be able to adapt it and make it. The reason we have to put that guideline in is because all of our hats have passed the safety standard test. If it was a brand new hat, we would have to go through testing and all of that kind of thing. So we know our existing hats are safe. So we just like an iteration of one of our existing hats. What I'd also like to say is, as well as the hat being made, we would like the competition winner to, if possible, come to our factory and see the hat being made, or at least have one of our VIP tours of our factory and meet the people who've made the hat. And ideally, Ben, if this is okay with you,
yes.
For the competition winner to come down and see you wear the hat at the show of your choosing.
Yeah, absolutely. And all, well, I was just thinking, obviously, we need to ask you about this, Dave. But I was just going to say, maybe if our competition winner comes and us three can come, and that, if you're talking about us getting this hat made, you also could show us the history of your of the stuff. And I think that would be a great way to kick off the Shut Up and Ride YouTube channel. What a brilliant first episode would that be? Visiting Charles Owen, seeing that hat. Like, yeah.
We'd be more than happy to host anybody that wants to come and do that. And if we could record an episode of the pod while we're there, even better.
Dave, have you got a good pub nearby? We could do the pub pod there as well, couldn't we?
Okay, let me work on that one.
Yeah, Dave, you've got to come to the pub pod. I can't even say it. It's very early in the morning. The pub pod.
Oh, don't worry. Whenever it is, I'm going to be there. Don't you worry.
A good pub, not a quiet one.
Also, can I ask a question, Dave? We are obviously, I am the worst. I hold my hands up. I have a bit of a potty mouth. When you walked into the room of your fellow work colleagues and said, I like this podcast, and people had a listen, did any of them go, what the fuck, Dave? They swear quite a lot in it. What's the feeling of that with Charles Owen? Because people might be worried that you might try and squash our way of being.
Well, no. If you remember the very first conversation we had, I very clearly said, this is your pod. And we are here to support it. I personally don't see it being an issue. Most of the people in my workplace who've heard the pod have said, that's the way we speak when we're in the yard.
That is very true.
So there's no, I don't think there's too many issues with that.
Cool. Well, I feel like this is a very happy day. It's a very happy, more for me, because I'm going to read out some of the comments we've had, because we've had so many lovely people messaging us recently. I feel like I want to give it a bit of airtime. But people have just said things like this one. Love these podcasts. Started listening because Simon is my most favourite human on the planet. Was this your mum sending us this message?
Good, quite possibly my mum.
Continue to listen because I love listening to you all, brackets, especially the swearing. Have smiled, laughed, cried along with you all. Keep up the good work. Just loads, massive thank you for your fab episodes. Listen to them all twice now. This person's very, keen. Can't wait for the next one. One's literally, I can show you my phone. Oh, you can't see it. That are about 10 pages long. But about people who've got their confidence back. We've even had someone message to say they've started riding again after 14 years after listening to the podcast. Just message after message after message about how much people love it. What I found so interesting is messages like that, people who've gone to a show and enjoyed it more because of something Ben said about giving them confidence and taking the pressure off themselves. Mm. I feel like we've done this pod because we wanted to have a voice and give the industry a voice again and talk about in real terms what the industry's like. But what I didn't realize was the people we're taking on this journey are beginning to love the horse again and really love riding and the passion for it and getting their confidence back. And that, for me, I didn't realize how emotional I would feel and how attached I feel to it and people listening. And that is really why I love the fact that Charles Owen are coming on board with us, so we can keep doing it, because I get really emotional when I read people's messages.
Yeah, and isn't that the thing, Jen, that gets you literally out of bed at 5 a.m?
Yes, literally.
Your time to actually do the pod and prepare the next one and the next one and the next one. You know, the equivalent for me of what you've just done there is the emails that I get from parents who say, my son or daughter had an accident last weekend. We took them to the hospital and the doctor has said, if they didn't have their hat on, they would be dead.
Unbelievable.
And it's the world outside of our factory and it's the world outside of your pod that you don't realise is being changed or affected by what you're doing. But when you get the message to reinforce that what you're doing is a good thing, it spurs you on even more.
Right. Boys, have you got any more questions for Dave? Anything? Oh, we haven't done what's annoyed you this week. Dave, you've got to tell us what's annoyed you this week.
Oh, God.
Can't all be positive and nice about things. Oh, or I'll start with the boys.
Can you come to me last?
The rain.
So, oh, Simi, what's annoyed you? The rain?
The rain.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
is it that bad?
It's been quite bad, hasn't it? Obviously you're not here. Ben's not been here. It's been really, like, the last couple of days. Well, the last few days. It just hasn't stopped. Like, literally.
So Ben sat there with sunglasses on in a million degree heat. It's really doing a lot for your morale right now.
I did see, didn't they just cancel the dressage finals at Arena UK? Because it was all flooded and everything.
It wouldn't surprise me. Like, it's flooded everywhere. Like, getting home last night was a nightmare.
How do you motivate yourself when it is that miserable? Because that's for the, I don't mind the icy and the cold or anything. For me, it's that sideways rain that really gets on my tits. Like, how do you get up and go and ride? You've got an indoor, that helps.
Yeah, you see, I'm really lucky now because, like, I'll go downstairs I'll hear the rain battering the windows and I'll be like, oh, I'm going to be in the indoor school today.
For me, so it's those little notifications the banking app sends you that says, going off your normal transactions, you're due for X amount to leave your account in 3 days. And you're like, get outside, get on the horse.
That's good motivation.
Yeah.
But it's also like, but obviously I can't go in the indoor school all the time, but when it is really foul and really horrible, God, what is the motivation? It's just because I want to improve the horses and get better. And, you know, you always think about the good stuff that's coming and how you've got to get better and improve all the time. And also, like, think about the horses have got to perform even in bad weather. So, no, it's good to train in bad weather as well.
And you go to Blenheim, smash a 4-star and interview people like Sarah Cox. Look at you schmoozing with the proper celebs.
I know, it's really cool. She was funny.
She is funny. All right, Ben, what's annoyed you this week?
It's quite a boring one, but equestrians will get it. I just opened the first 3 of our own haylage bales that we baled this year, and 2 of them were blooming mouldy.
Oh, that's the worst. No,
that's really annoying.
Oh! So, God. Yeah. That is. That's
it
annoying.
It is, honestly. Dave, that's a proper horse thing. Can I say mine?
Yeah.
It's a bit embarrassing.
Oh, no.
So I got asked, the president of Thunderbird's wife works in a high school and they have an equestrian bit of the high school. So while you're doing all your normal studyings, you can also learn about horses, which is pretty cool in a high school over here. And she has guests to tell about different parts of the industry. So she has vets in, Tiffany Foster's been in, all these people, like every so often she'll get a guest in. So she asked me to come along to say about my life and my media career. So I was like, oh yeah, go on then. So I drove all the way to Langley and I'm sat there. High schools are really intimidating, by the way. Big teenagers are huge and terrifying. So I walked through the school feeling like they're not in uniform over here either. So I think that's even more intimidating. They're all really cool. I was there like doing my hair, like, oh God. Anyway, I wore baggy jeans to try and fit in. Sat down and there's like 20, 30 of them. And I was sweating, like proper, I've got a sweat on thinking about it now. And they're all staring at me. And I'm like, God, this is so boring. But anyway, talked about my life. They all perked up when I said I'd interview Mark Wahlberg. I think that was about as excited as they got. But as I'm talking, I turn around and one of them is falling asleep.
Oh, no, Jenny.
She's actually falling. Like, you know when people's eyes go and their head starts going? And I was like, oh, no, she woke up, fine. I'm not that boring. And then I look around again. She is fully asleep, like proper passed out. I'm like, am I that boring?
I don't think that's a you problem. That's a school problem. I bet if you gave that same talk to those same people outside of school, they would have loved it. But because you're at school...
I think so too.
Well, only because that makes me feel better.
I have a bit of a deal with Bishop Burton where sometimes I'll be like, the weather's foul and I've not got a big indoor. Can I borrow yours? And they'll be like, yeah, you can have it for an hour if you give some of our students a lecture on what you do. And all the students, and they ask me that because the students say that that's what they want. The students say they want me to come in and speak to them. And then they sit there looking out the window, looking at their phones, not wanting to be listening at all. So I think humans don't do well at doing things when they have to be there, I don't think.
Well, I did go on my phone afterwards and looked at Instagram, and I had like 20 new followers. But as I was looking at the timeline of when they started following me, it was during the lecture. So, yes, I wouldn't have said, did it annoy me? No, it did annoy me a little bit, but only a tiny bit. I actually thought it was very funny. I was like, you're falling asleep. But yes. So
did you call them out on it? Did you say,
no.
Oi, you.
Because in my head, I'm not there to be a lecturer. I'm there to entertain. So I was like, it's not my job to, for the poor girl, who knows what's going on in her life. She might have had a late one. But it was so funny. I could tell they were all a bit bored. And then I said, oh yeah, by the way, I've interviewed Mark Wahlberg in Vegas. And they were like, oh, wow. And then they wanted to know about Mark Wahlberg. So I didn't even get around to telling them I knew Superman. But yeah, so that was what happened this week. Dave, you can't get out of it.
Oh, so I've got the least equestrian thing to complain about. the price of train tickets in this country, and I'll tell you why. I'm going to China next week, and I booked a train in China yesterday on a high speed train. It's a 2 hour journey, and the price of a basic ticket in China on this high speed train was $15, and they said, would I like to upgrade to first class for an extra $4?
Yes.
Of course. So I can go on first class on a high-speed train that you don't even feel is moving. You go 300 kilometers an hour and you cannot feel it move for $19. I've booked a trip to London and back in one day for me and my two boys, and it comes to nearly £400.
Easily.
On a Saturday. Unreal.
That is a good what's annoyed you this week.
So
I appreciate
how much is $19 in pounds?
About £15.
15 quid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Simon's Googling eventing in China.
Yeah.
Do they have indoors?
It honestly gets I've travelled with business, you know, all over the world, and I cannot find a more expensive place to travel than the UK.
Wow.
Yeah, that would ring true.
Why are they filling up these trains when none of us can afford to go on them? Like, what's the point? It's got to be cheaper than driving, otherwise what's the point? Exactly.
So, yeah. Sorry, it was non-horsey, but that's me.
No,
we like non-horsey.
If it had been horsey, it'd have been weird. Right, boys, do you have any more questions for Dave? Dave, do you have any more questions for us?
I don't have any questions for you guys at all. I just want to say what a pleasure it's been being on the pod. I do want to reassure the listeners that I'm not going to be on every week. This is a one-time only exposure on the pod. Well, maybe not one time, but it's not just because it's sponsored by us does not mean that we are going to be taking over the pod. So I do want to just reassure people, but it's been a pleasure.
Dave as a touchstone. If more ridiculous topics come up where equestrians all have biases, then we get even if it's not for the full pod, we get Dave to drop in. Dave, give us, people are talking about social licensing, you're not a horse person, give us your view. Right, let's
happy
keep
to do that.
That'd be good.
Do it with Dave. We'll start a feature.
Do it with Dave. What a section on the podcast.
Right. Boys, as always, it's an absolute pleasure. Dave, absolute joy. So excited that Charles Owen, can I just say, for the first time, Shut Up and Ride podcast, sponsored by Charles Owen. It's got a good ring to it. But all that is left to say is, Dave, shut up and ride.
Thank you.